Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 86 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I am Joshua Grandison.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
And we've looked everywhere we can, and we're at the point now, if we don't get some adequate revenue, we're going to have to start looking at programs.
Rowland School Superintendent Marvin Moore says the school board is looking at raising its taxes.
Police in Moorhead are investigating a break-in at the Round County Preschool that happened earlier this morning.
And the latest unemployment numbers for the region are not good.
In sports, the high school football season begins in Kentucky tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
It'll be partly cloudy tonight with some thunderstorms possible. The complete forecast is coming up. But first, this news.
Police in Moorhead are investigating a break-in at the Rowland County Preschool. Chief David Sexton says the incident at the downtown facility occurred sometime early this morning.
Looks like a single male entered the building through a lower door of the preschool building and proceeded to enter several rooms, ransacking some stuff, and there was a TV and some other items that was taken during the appears that he was in there probably over the course of an hour.
Rowland School Superintendent Marvin Moore says the burglar also damaged some doors and windows in the preschool. At this point, officials are still working on an estimate for the damage and losses. Sexton confirms images of the burglar were captured on the school's video camera, but his face was covered by a mask. Police, however, did find some fingerprints and other evidence.
A stabbing in Scioto County Thursday has resulted in the arrest of a Dayton, Ohio man. The Portsmouth Daily Times is reporting that 40-year-old Alexander Dillard is charged with felonious assault in the wounding of Leo Bugs. Dillard is also accused of tampering with evidence. Scioto deputies say the incident took place in a home on Virginia Drive in Wheelersburg. 34-year-old Bugs was airlifted to a Cabell County hospital where he's listed in stable condition in the intensive care unit. Dillard is held in the Scioto County Jail on a bond of more than $27,000. He faces a hearing in Portsmouth Municipal Court.
Johnson County deputies say they have arrested a man and woman after they found an active meth lab in a vehicle. WSAZ says the discovery was made at a traffic safety checkpoint on Kentucky Route 321 at the mouth of Southside Lane in Paintsville late Thursday night. The driver, 23-year-old Shelby Barnett of Lowmansville, was arrested along with her passenger, 33-year-old James Baldwin of Paintsville. Deputies say the meth lab was on the floorboard of the back seat and that it was bubbling and very active. Both were charged with manufacturing meth. The sheriff says that Baldwin was out of jail on bond from an earlier meth charge. Both people are in the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center.
Two men are behind bars after an undercover sting by the Boyd County Sheriff's Department. The men, 34-year-old Thomas Reed and 33-year-old Jeremiah Bennett, were apprehended at an Ashland bus station. Police say upon search of the pair's vehicle, they allegedly found 250 grams of heroin inside a backpack, street valued at around $500,000. Reed faces trafficking and possession charges, while Bennett is charged with complicity to traffic a controlled substance. All those charges are felonies, and the two are lodged in the Boyd County Detention Center.
A Louisville facility that treats drug addicts says it is planning a major expansion to meet a growing need due to the heroin epidemic. The Courier-Journal reports The Healing Place today announced that it intends to spend $20 million over 2 years to nearly double its size for its facility for men. Plans call for increasing the number of detox beds from 24 to at least 50 and the long-term recovery beds from 250 to 426. Officials say the expansion is driven mostly by the heroin epidemic. The director of the nonprofit organization tells the newspaper that heroin addicts have overwhelmed the facility.
Lexington police continue to gather information about two 76-year-old twins who have been accused of sexual contact with minors. According to court documents, Lexington brothers Jack and Jerry Cassidy are accused of both possession of child pornography and indecent or immoral practice with another, a charge that predates the modern penal code. The crimes are alleged to have spanned decades, starting in 1963. Lexington Police Chief Ronnie Baston told reporters Thursday it's unusual for his department to comment on an ongoing Special Victims Unit investigation, but the circumstances of the case warranted an update.
Since the initial arrest of Jack and Jerry Cassidy and following media coverage, we've received numerous calls, tips, and emails and other information about the case. We're continuing to receive information from both victims and witnesses.
Both brothers had pleaded guilty to misdemeanor charges of having unlawful transaction with a minor more than 30 years ago after leading a Lexington Boy Scout troop, but a judge probated the sentences and ordered them to stay away from all youth organizations. Court documents show the twins have acknowledged the incidents in interviews with authorities. Paston says the police are working to marshal various counseling services and other resources to help any victims who might choose to file reports.
With its budget strained, the Rowan County School Board will consider raising property taxes. The board will meet on September 3rd to consider a 2.9% increase, which would amount to a jump of $16 for every $100,000 of assessed value. Superintendent Marvin Moore says it's not a move the Rowan School Board wants to make, but adds, with state and federal support for education continuing to decline, the district is in a very tough spot.
I feel like local boards of education throughout the Commonwealth have been held hostage because we can't get the revenue support from the state and from the feds, and they keep throwing mandates at us with no funding, and they want the local boards of education make the tough decision, the decision that they won't make in Frankfort and won't make in Washington.
Moore says Rowan schools have absorbed millions of dollars in federal and state funding cuts in the last 5 years. Among the challenges the district faces next year is a mandated $180,000 hike in its contribution to the retirement system for its teachers. If enacted, the property tax increase would create about $236,000 in new revenue.
Local, state, and national education leaders were in Lexington yesterday, touring Fayette County's three Green Ribbon schools. Tricene Logston, the Energy and Sustainability Curriculum Coordinator for Fayette County Public Schools, explained that it takes more than a great recycling program to earn Green Ribbon status.
What kinds of opportunities are our students having to learn outdoors? What kinds of opportunities are they having to learn about nutrition? What are their physical education policies and schedule look like? But then also environmental literacy. To what degree are their students in that school really teaching themselves, teaching their parents, teaching our community at large, teaching their teachers about what sustainability is, why it's so important?
Each year on Earth Day, the newest Green Ribbon schools are announced. In 2012, Rosa Parks Elementary became the first to win in Fayette County, followed by Locust Trace in 2013 and Wellington in 2014. Logston says energy-efficient renovations across the district have already saved the county millions of dollars in just 4 years, and the three new schools being built in Fayette County include energy-efficient and sustainability construction.
The Rowan County Fiscal Court will hear from architects interested in designing the county's new detention center on September 9th. Eight architectural firms have reportedly submitted bids to handle that work. Judge Executive Jim Nichols says they'll have the opportunity to present their ideas for the facility to the fiscal court.
We have sent out and contacted the companies that have sent their proposals in to do a face-to-face, what I call the dog and pony show. You know, they come in, they give you some scenarios of drawings of what it may look like, whether they use or not use a CM, a lot of detailed information.
In addition to the architects, the Rowan Fiscal Court will also audition two financial advisors hoping to help with the jail project. According to Nickel, the county will wait until an architect is hired before finalizing a site for its new detention center. He says several potential locations remain under consideration.
New figures from the Kentucky Office of Employment and Training show that the jobless rate went up slightly in the Gateway, Buffalo Trace, Fiveco, and Big Sandy area development districts last month compared to June. In the Gateway District, unemployment rose 0.4 points to 8.6%. For Buffalo Trace, the rate went from 8.7% to 9%. Fiveco saw the biggest increase of 0.6 points to 8.8%. And Big Sandy's jobless rate edged up 0.2 points to 11.2%. Statewide, unemployment in July rose 0.1 points to 7.5%.
A remote area medical clinic planned in Moorhead for October 25th and 26th will be held, though its location will have to be changed. That's according to an official with RAM USA. Chris Hall is Chief Operating Officer of the publicly supported all-volunteer program. Morehead State University announced on Thursday it had decided not to serve as community host of the event, and the Rowan County School District will not make its middle school available for those 2 days. MSU and the Rowan County Schools say there were unresolved issues concerning liability insurance and scheduling. Hall says the liability questions are new for RAM. He says they haven't been a problem anywhere else.
We carry a significant amount of liability insurance that covers RAM events all across the nation. Anywhere that there's a RAM vehicle, that liability insurance covers us. It's unfortunate to lose some pieces that we had at this point, but we're definitely continue going forward with that clinic.
Hall says another location will be secured and announced soon. The RAM clinic intends to offer free medical, dental, and vision care for adults and children in need during its Morehead event.
Kentucky Attorney General Jack Conway concedes it's a fraction of the unfunded liability in the Kentucky retirement system, but it's still a historic settlement. Conway is referring to the agreement announced Thursday evening requiring Bank of America to pay the KRS $23 million for losses the pension system incurred from a fraudulent mortgage scheme. The KRS has unfunded liability of more than $17 billion. Conway discussed the gap during a conference call with reporters.
In the grand scheme of things, $23 million versus whatever the unfunded liability is this month, I acknowledge that. But this is, I'm unaware of any securities fraud recovery of this size going directly back to the retirement systems to help, not to totally alleviate, but to help cover some of the unfunded liability in that system.
Conway says Bank of America can't be forced to pay for the Kentucky legislature's failure to adequately fund the KRS for the past 2 decades. However, he says the firm should pay for the damage it caused to the pension fund.
The Republican Party of Kentucky has submitted a complaint to the Federal Election Commission alleging Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Allison Lundergan Grimes accepted prohibited campaign donations from her father's company. The complaint was hand-delivered to the FEC today. It alleges Signature Special Event Services, owned by Grimes's father, Jerry Lundergan, purchased a touring bus and then leased it to Grimes's campaign at below market rates. Federal law bars companies from giving gifts to campaigns. A spokeswoman for the Grimes campaign called the complaint a political stunt and said their compliance experts have done their due diligence and stand by the rental agreement the campaign made.
A new Diageo distillery is now under construction in Shelbyville. Officials broke ground on the $115 million facility Thursday. Aiming to capitalize on the worldwide bourbon boom, London, England-based Diageo plans to open the doors to its new Bulleit Distilling Company by the end of 2016. But if visitors are going to do any tasting, Shelby County voters will have to reconsider the region's dry status. Shelby County Judge Executive Bob Rothenberger spoke with WAVE-TV.
Because they're such a great brand, they're going to sell whether they have it or not. But we really want it, they want it, because we want to be able to showcase not only Diageo and Bulleit Distilling, but we also want to showcase our fine community that we have.
The distillery, named for Louisville native Tom Bulleit, is expected to bring 30 jobs to the community and contribute to the bottom lines of a number of Kentucky farms. While Diageo's brands include Crown Royal and Johnny Walker, the Shelbyville location will focus on the Bulleit brand with other potential bourbon and whiskey varieties to follow.
Finally, in today's news, an award recognizing the success of a hospital's stroke care program has been presented to St. Clair Regional Medical Center. The Rising Star Award was given by UK Healthcare's Stroke Care Network last month. Krista Thompson is a registered nurse with St. Clair's stroke program. She says the award means a lot for the hospital.
It's really a good motivating factor for the hospital to keep pursuing excellence and doing education in stroke, not only in-house for nurses, non-clinical staff, and medical staff, but also in the community.
UK Healthcare's Stroke Care Network currently includes 23 hospitals aside from St. Clair. The facility was one of 4 hospitals in the region to receive the award.
And now your weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, including the cities of Ashland, Clearfield, and Morehead. Your weather for tonight, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. We'll see lows around 72 degrees. Tomorrow, it'll be mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, warm and humid with highs around 88 degrees and a 50% chance of rain. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy skies, scattered showers and thunderstorms. It'll be muggy again with lows around 70, chance of rain 40%. And Sunday through Sunday night, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. We'll see highs again in the upper 80s and lows around 68. Looking forward to the start of next week on Monday. It'll be partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms and highs around 85 degrees. It is currently 83 degrees in Ashland, 83 as well right now in Flemingsburg, 85 in Inez, 88 in Lexington, 87 in Winchester, and 86 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
It's 4:45. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition right here on 90.3 FM. I'm Joshua Grandison here with Arlo Barnett, and it's good to have your company on this Friday afternoon. Stick with us. At 5 o'clock, it's All Things Considered, and at 7, it's Field Notes with host Grant Alden. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from Morehead State University professor Dr. John Modaff. He says it's time to identify some real heroes.
Every time we turn around, seems as if someone else is being called a hero. Won't be long and we'll be giving out medals for just getting up in the morning and making it to the coffee pot. Sure, it's nice to be called a hero for breathing, but the problem is the term is thereby devalued and real heroes get lost in the mob. So let's take a minute to reflect on some people who really are behaving heroically. Like Deacon David Carter of Mount Olive Pentecostal Church in Massachusetts, who has spoken passionately about the genocide against black people that is conducted by abortionists. He cites facts and figures illustrating the decimation of black America by an industry that continues to successfully frame itself as an exercise in civil rights. He points out that if anyone were to describe the so-called abortion industry as a program in, quote, the limitation of non-white birth, all of us would be horrified. But the statistics on who is being encouraged to exercise this right to abortion and the consequences on the population and thus the political clout of black Americans are themselves horrifying. The Christian rapper Quavis Walker talks of the silent slaughter of black communities disguised as women's rights, and urban outreach director Minister Arnold Culbreth has dared to pull back the curtain with his claims that Planned Parenthood is equating civil rights with abortion, even though, according to him, the number one cause of death for African Americans is not heart disease or murder, not police brutality, but abortion. And the Reverend Bill Owens, founder and president of the Coalition of African American Pastors, takes aim directly at the current President of the United States and his Attorney General, claiming that their enthusiasm for abortion and Planned Parenthood indicates clearly that they have, quote, no feeling for little black children, close quote. And let's not forget the bold and brave proclamations of Lydia Gutierrez to the NAACP while she was running for District 25 State Senator in California back in 2010, when she dared to point out that one of every two black children conceived will be aborted. And as we close our list of real heroes, let's listen for a moment to Bishop E.W. Jackson, Chairman of Ministers Taking a Stand.
The Democrat Party has created an unholy alliance between certain so-called civil rights leaders and Planned Parenthood, which has killed unborn black babies by the tens of millions. Planned Parenthood has been far more lethal to black lives than the KKK ever was. And the Democrat Party and their black civil rights allies are partners in this genocide.
Such people are heroes, whether you agree with their premises and how they define terms. They are daring to put themselves in jeopardy by standing against waves of disinformation and propaganda. They've been called every other name in the book. To that list, we might now add hero. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech communication at Morehead State University. Jared has been keeping his eyes on your sports world. He's up in a few seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more are available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps available for both Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
Football is back. Good evening, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Jared Wesley. With several games in the area, Kentucky's 2014 high school football season kicks off tonight. Fleming County will be at home to face Harrison County. Fleming coach Bill Spencer says the Panthers will again feature an air attack led by quarterback Jake Boyd, who will have plenty of good receivers to get the ball to.
We have a very capable back in Maverick Burnett, who's a running back slot receiver for us, but and a couple other kids, but we have several receiver-type kids that we're going to try to get the ball to in space, and that's kind of our ball game.
At Lewis County, the Lions face Greenup County. Lewis coach Joshua Hughes says after scoring several narrow victories en route to a 7-4 record in 2013, his Lions are confident they can win close games.
We had enough close games last year that our kids should be used to that kind of pressure, and we try to simulate those situations the best we can in practice, and hopefully we're prepared for it.
In other games tonight, Ashland Blazer hosts Newport Central Catholic, Lawrence visits Boyd, Morgan entertains Estill, and Raceland visits East Carter. Round County's season opener is tomorrow as the Vikings play Clark County at 5 p.m. at the Recreation Bowl in Mount Sterling. The Cardinals battered the Vikings 58-13 last August, and Round coach Ray Graham says his team will again have to find a way to stop Clark's potent offense.
We have to contain the quarterback on the bootlegs. It's going to be, after we do a good job of defending the pass, he's going to take off running. He's not going to be an easy guy to deal with, the Chirac kid. But defensively, give a couple looks, you know, that we do well, and just keep hitting. You know, we got to get rallied to the ball. We got to hit them.
Graham also says the Vikings can't give the ball away like they did in last weekend's scrimmage with Lewis County when they had four turnovers in just three quarters. A key member of the Morehead State football team's defense has no doubt his group will be much better this season. Junior linebacker Luke Keller says the unit will be helped by the fact that it has several key veterans that are battle-tested.
We had a lot of experience last year and a lot of freshmen that had to step up and play. But this year we have some guys that are pretty interchangeable. As we just said, I just got moved to Mike. Before that, we just had guys that can literally play about any position, and a linebacker. So we're going to have a lot of depth this year. And I think that's the main thing, is just the experience and the depth that we have.
The MSU defense is looking to improve after allowing 46 points and 539 yards per game in 2013. A Kentucky football star has received a preseason accolade, MSPR's Noah Hughes reports.
Wildcats senior defensive end Bud Dupree has been named to the SEC coaches all-conference team. The 6'4", 264-pound native of Arlington, Georgia, is on the second-team list. Dupree has also created some more preseason buzz. He's on the Ted Hendricks Award watch list and the Chuck Bednarik and Bronco Nagurski Trophy preseason watch list. Last season, Dupree led all SEC defensive linemen with 61 tackles. He led UK in sacks last year with 7, which put him at 6th in the SEC. He also had 9.5 tackles for loss. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Noah Hughes.
The Cincinnati Bengals say defensive end Geno Atkins should make his preseason debut this weekend. Atkins is expected to be on the field for a few snaps when the Bengals face Arizona on Sunday. He hasn't played since suffering a knee injury last October the 31st. Coach Marvin Lewis says Atkins is making solid progress in his recovery.
Geno's done well with it. I think guys heal at their own pace. And I think in the mental process is always going to be at their own pace. But he's been good.
Drafted in 2010 by the Bengals, the 26-year-old Atkins is trying to return to the form that helped him register 12.5 sacks in 2012 and make the Pro Bowl. The Cincinnati Reds are riding a 6-game losing streak into Great American Ballpark tonight to host the Braves at 7:10. The Redlegs have had one of the most disheartening second-half starts in years. Matt Latos will take the mound tonight to try and turn things around. At 4-3, the right-handed Latos is looking to improve on his 3.10 ERA. At 61-67, the Reds have slid all the way down to fourth place in the National League Central. Brian Price's ball club is currently 10.5 games out of first place Milwaukee. They're 7 games back in the NL wildcard race. In the only other major league game going on right now, the Chicago Cubs are leading the Orioles 4-1 in the bottom of the 7th inning. The Minnesota Timberwolves have an agreement in principle to acquire Philadelphia's Thaddeus Young in addition to number 1 overall draft pick Andrew Wiggins as part of a 3-team trade that will send Kevin Love to the Cavaliers. Sources told ESPN.com on Friday that the Wolves, Cavs, and Sixers, barring any late snags, indeed plan to complete the transaction as a three-team trade Saturday, which is the first day Wiggins is eligible to be dealt after signing his contract July 24th. Wiggins becomes eligible to be dealt at 12:01 a.m. Saturday, as soon as the calendar flips to August the 23rd. That'll do it for sports tonight. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Volleyball will host the Eagle Challenge in Weatherby Gym, playing Northern Kentucky at noon and Radford at 5 p.m. on Saturday, August 30th. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks mostly fell, with the S&P 500 halting a four-session win streak that lifted it to a record as investors weighed rising tension between Russia and Ukraine, as well as speeches by European Central Bank President Mario Draghi and Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen. Both central bankers gave the market what was expected, with Yellen reiterating that slack remains in the U.S. labor market, even as the American economy continues a five-year recovery, and Draghi expressed confidence that stimulus already announced and a weaker euro would help the eurozone economy. But the ECB, he stressed, is ready to do more if needed. And the Dow Industrials finished the week with a loss of 38.27 at 17,001.22. The S&P 500 was down 3.96 at 1988.41. The NASDAQ Composite managed a gain of 6.45 to finish at 4538.55. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 18-11 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Stocks fell to session lows after NATO said it was observing an alarming increase in Russian forces near Ukraine and fluctuated after Yellen spoke, while turning mostly lower ahead of and during Draghi's remarks. The euro strengthened against the U.S. dollar, which turned lower against the currencies of major U.S. trading partners, while the 10-year Treasury yield dropped one basis point to finish at just under 2.4%. Foot Locker rose after the athletic shoemaker reported second-quarter earnings. Aeropostale fell a day after the teen apparel retailer posted a loss for the second quarter. Home Depot tabbed retail industry veteran Craig Menear as chief executive of the home improvement retailer. On the New York Mercantile Exchange, gold futures for December delivery rose $4.80 to finish at $1,280.20 an ounce, and crude oil futures for October delivery fell 31 cents to finish at $93.65 a barrel. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 23 cents at 107.30, CSX up 7 cents at 30.70, AEP down 27 cents at 52.53, AK Steel up 67 cents at 10.68, Marathon Petroleum up 36 cents at 90.42, and Fifth Third Bank was up 7 cents to finish at 20.32. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Now your weather forecast again for the MSPR listening area. Tonight it will be mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. Lows around 72 degrees. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies with chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. Warm and humid with highs around 88 and a chance of rain 50%. Tomorrow night will be mostly cloudy. We'll see scattered showers and thunderstorms, muggy with lows around 70 and a chance of rain 40%. Sunday through Sunday night, we'll see partly cloudy skies, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs up in the upper 80s, and lows around 68 degrees. It is currently 84 degrees in Ashland, 84 as well in Flemingsburg, 85 right now in Inez, 88 in Lexington, 85 degrees in Winchester, and 86 degrees here in Morehead.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help on today's program from MSPR staff members Chuck Moraz, Tanner Boyd, Dan Conte, Jared Wesley, and Jordan Simonson. From Morehead State University, Dr. John Modaff provided our feature segment this afternoon. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY in Morehead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Joshua Grandison for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is up next. The time is 5 o'clock.